John 17 and 4 says, Jesus glorified thee and finished the work. 2 Timothy 1 and 9 says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. So we know for us to live, just like for Paul to live, it's about Christ. Us dying to self and being like Christ, being sanctified, set apart. So everybody's familiar with the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1, where Paul says, imitate me like I imitate Christ, right? So that's the same thing that we're looking at right now, because Paul's the author of Philippians. So he's saying, imitate me like I imitate Christ. If you do what I'm doing, I'm doing what Christ is doing. We're all on the same page. So think about imitation. When someone imitates someone else, it makes you think of that person, right? Right? And our job is to look like us, but to act like Christ. Look like us, but act like Christ. Let's make an example of this. I'm going to do some imitations, okay? Now, I want you, and remember, imitation is flattery and all that stuff they say. Okay, so I'm going to do some imitations, and it's going to be of people here at Greenville. Now, I'm just going to say a few words, and I'm going to point to you to see if you know who I'm talking about, okay? The first one's easy. I'm going to start off easy. I'm going to get a little bit harder to see how long you've been here. Okay, my first imitation. What a day, what a day, what a day. Okay, so when I point to you, tell me who, just tell me their last name. That's brother. Got it. Okay, you got it. Okay, okay. It's going to get a little hard. It's going to get a little harder. All right. This next one, this is a saying, and I'm just going to do the saying and see if you can get this one. 9 times out of 2. All right, let me point to you. Who do you think? Brother Myers, you got it. All right. Here's this last one. Now, you got to be here for a little while to know this one. Okay. Just pretend I'm doing the announcements. All righty then. Everybody know what all righty then? Who do you think that is? All right. I'm sorry, Brother Hart. Okay. Yeah, that's correct. So, when you hear that, you see me, but you think of the people I'm imitating, right? So that's the same way we're thinking about with Christ, is we're going to act, sound, do everything like Christ. So they're like, well, this is different. Who are you? And so it puts the example on Christ. Everybody with me? Okay. And so when we talked about sanctification, we talk about being holy, that's what that is. Please don't let the world run you away from the word holy. Amen. Don't let them run you away from the word sanctified. All that means is set apart. That's our job, to be set apart for a purpose. And if we're set apart and we're different, then it brings the attention to Christ, right? So 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. And we talked about that sanctified, that's holy, that's set apart for his purpose, okay? Now, what I want you to think about on the me part of this mighty test, what are you doing to be more like him? Are you studying? Are you praying? Are you worshiping? Are you serving? Are you using your talents for the purpose that they were meant for? Not only what are you doing to be more like him, but what are you sacrificing? We know we're supposed to be a living sacrifice according to Romans 12 and 1, but what are you giving up for the cause? Christ gave up his life. What are you giving up? Are you giving up some time? Are you giving up your selfishness? And I'm only speaking to me because I know some of the things that I struggle with is you keep hearing the world and the world keeps telling you it's about you and you deserve some me time and don't work. Don't listen to that. You're to be like Christ, not the world. All right? So that's the me part. What are you doing to look like Christ? What are you doing to be peculiar people? You know, the scripture tells us we're peculiar, right? That's different. If you look like the world, sound like the world, talk like the world, you ain't different. You the world. Peculiar, different people. What does he say? Holy nation. Oh, that's that word again. Set apart for that purpose. It's all about salvation. All right? That's the me of the mighty test. So how are you doing on that? Now, we go to the you. And the you, if we're talking about you in Christ. When you look back at the text that we read in Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 28, I heard you say the times that he said me. Then he said, hey, it's necessary for me to stay around. It's necessary for you. And when he said you, he was talking about the body of Christ. His fruitful labor was to help the body of Christ be saved, stay saved. Everybody with me?
Yes.
Because once you get baptized and become a believer, it just begun. You can fall away. Don't let them tell you you can't. So part of my job, part of your job, is I'm not only worried about my salvation, but guess what? I'm supposed to be responsible and worried about your salvation. So think about that test. How are you doing so far on your purpose? When's the last time you encouraged someone in the body? When's the last time you edified someone in the body? When's the last time you admonished someone in the body? And you're only able to admonish them because you have a relationship with them. You can't tell me what I need to do and what I can't do. Well, you can. I might not listen if we don't have that relationship. Amen. And so you have to spend time so that you can do the things that you're supposed to do for those in the body. The scriptures tell us, let us love one another. That's how we know that you're my disciples. John 13, 34 and 35. Let us not love in word and speech, but in actions and truth. 1 John 3 and 18. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Let us love one another, excuse me, because God is love. Romans 14 and 19. Therefore, make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. But Henry, you don't understand. Sister so-and-so is just, Do everything, make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. But you don't know what he did to me. Make every effort. And that's what we got to look. What are you doing for the body of Christ? Think about today. Have you texted anyone? Have you prayed for anyone? Do they know that you're praying for them? I know you're not one of those where you tell somebody, I'm going to pray for you, and then you forget, and then you see them Sunday, and as they're walking up, you try to pray real quick. Oh, Lord, please be your brother worthy. Right? I know y'all never do that. But what are those things that you're doing to help the you? It's not just about me. I got to be saved, but I got to help you as well. Okay? That's part of our purpose. We make salvation in the body of Christ look good to those outside of Christ. Galatians tells us, 6 and 10, you do good to all people, but especially those in the household of faith, especially those, the family believers. That's one of the benefits of being in the body, is how wonderful we're going to treat each other, what we do for each other, how we're trying to help each other get to heaven. Okay, so that's the why in the mighty test. And then we got the T, those. Now you remember, if you look in verse number 28, it says, without being frightened, and this is Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, by those who oppose you. So now we're looking at the those. So the you are those in Christ. The those are those outside of Christ, those that oppose you. So what are you doing in regards to their salvation? Now, I can tell you right now, Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, looking at verses 19 and 20, and it sums it up, our responsibility. And I'm going to read it. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So look at the Great Commission that we're all familiar with. How are we stacking up? How are you stacking up? How am I stacking up to this part of the mighty test? Am I making disciples? If I had more time, we could really get into deep how deep that is about making disciples. But what we're talking about is, who have you taught? Well, Henry, I invite people to church all the time. You know, I keep looking for that scripture that says invite people to church. Y'all probably found it. I'm still looking for it. Now, there's nothing wrong with it, but can you do more? But no, Henry, you don't understand. I can't teach. I've never taught before. Okay. Have you ever taught anything in your entire life? Think about it. Anything. Whether it's at your job, whether it's at school, whether it's your children that you taught them. So you're telling me you can teach that, but you can't teach the word? Well, I don't know enough. So how do you get to know enough? You didn't know enough for that certification. You didn't know enough for that degree, but you had to teach. You had to learn. You had to study. We make sacrifices for the world all the time. What sacrifices are you making for Christ? And I am not picking on you. I don't even have my glasses on, so I can't even see half of y'all. I'm talking to myself, and this is what I had to deal with. Am I fulfilling that purpose? When we look at that purpose, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24 says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle." In the NIV, it says, "kind unto all men, apt to teach." The NIV says, "able to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose." Those that oppose. Are we gently instructing? Are we able to teach? It says on here, a servant of the Lord. Doesn't say a deacon, doesn't say an elder, doesn't say a minister. Amen. It says a servant. Amen. So if I'm a servant, does all of this apply? And what I want us to think about is taking their spirituality to that next level. Am I fulfilling God's purpose that he has for me? Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. I won't read it for the sake of time, but it talks about Paul saying, "I became like them so I can save those under the law." Those not under the law. It's about being and doing what you have to do, being like Christ, dying to self, so you can save those. It's not about just your salvation. It's not just about the salvation of those in the body. It's about those that oppose. And this really messed with me, not only just the part about teaching, but it made me think about how I treat people, no matter how they treat me. Like, it's some people you work with. Amen. They make you pray. They make you pray. But God, that's not an excuse. I may be the only Christian you ever see. So I have to act different. When everybody else goes off on you, I can't go off on you because I'm peculiar. Yeah. I'm different. Even if you deserve whatever they, amen. I have to be like Christ. So that been messing me up. I was driving, you know, I got road rage. I mean, it was like all kinds of stuff. I was like, is that what Christ would do? You know, you have those moments, right? It affects every relationship you have. Your life is about me. It's about you. It's about those. Think of every aspect of your life. Have you only focused on the me part, as in what are my goals, what do I want to aspire to do, what I want to be successful? But is that your purpose? God will give you all of that, but are you fulfilling your purpose? So I'm going to wrap this up. Colossians 4 and 5 says, be wise in the way you treat outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. And what I want to do right now is time for the retest. Okay. So remember your score that you had earlier and how you were doing. Now I want you to use the mighty test to determine your score. Think about it, there's three parts, right? It's the me. Am I looking like Christ? Am I dying to self? Am I being sanctified? It's the you. What did I do today for the body of Christ? Who am I encouraging? Who am I helping? Who am I supporting? Who am I admonishing? And it's the those. What have I done to bring people to Christ? So if you're good on all three, I say that's a score of three, right? One, two, three. That you deserve a three. So if you're good on all those, if you're not, we can talk about that as well. All right. So look at that same neighbor that you looked at earlier. Go on, make eye contact. Okay. Now, go ahead and show them that number. What? Show them your number. What's your number on your retest? All right. Okay, now, raise your hands if your number changed. Okay. And what I'm going to challenge you to do is that mighty test, you can take that every day. At the end of the day, you take the mighty test as you're getting ready to go to sleep. What did I do for me in regards to salvation? What did I do for somebody in the body of Christ today? What did I do to those that oppose? Because I guarantee you, you can have interaction with them every day. Unless you by yourself all the time, you're going to have interaction with the you and the those. Because remember, God tells us they're going to see our good deeds and glorify him. We talk about being the salt of the earth, right? Familiar text. Salt is no good if it doesn't touch what it's supposed to be touching. Salt in that salt shaker does not help that pork chop. Right? It's got to touch it. In order to preserve it, in order to give it flavor, who are you touching? You can't help those if you're not touching them. So the thing I want to leave you with, talk about not fulfilling your purpose. We all agree that your purpose is about salvation and saving souls. So what happens in the real world when you don't fulfill your purpose? Let's think about this. At work, your purpose is what they pay you to do. So when you don't fulfill your purpose, what does your boss do? Fire you is the word you're looking for. Fire you. Okay? Okay, let's think about school. Your purpose is to learn education. If you don't do it, that teacher fails you. So we got fire you, we got fail you. What about life? Let's look at Luke 13, verses 6 through 9. Luke 13, verses 6 through 9. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for the fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, let it alone. For one more year, I'll dig around it, I'll fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. So Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 28, the reason I'm staying around here, it's necessary, it's fruitful labor for me to bear fruit. So we looked at if you're at work and you don't do what your purpose is, you get fired. If you're at school and you're not doing the purpose, you fail. So in life, if you're not fulfilling your purpose, are you finished? And I thank God for his grace and his mercy. Because I know there's been days I've gone without fulfilling my purpose. And I'd have been fired on that second day at work for that same thing. But because of his grace, because of his mercy, he gives us another chance. And when we know better, we do better. And so that's all the time I have. What we want to look at now is if you are not in the body of Christ, then what I'm talking about and those responsibilities in that mighty test, it's not available for you. Because there are some benefits and privileges that I don't even have time to cover, like his Holy Spirit, how he provides for us. But that's only available for those that are in Christ. That's the you, that's the me, that's the us. And how you become a member of his body is you have to hear, right? Romans 10 and 17. Then you have to believe. And we talk about Mark 16 and 16. You have to repent. And when we talk about believe what you heard. We talk about the gospel of Christ, what Christ came to do, what his purpose was. We were separated, not because of what Christ did, because of what we did. Because of our sins, and Christ brought us back together. So then you have to repent. That means change your ways. Then after repentance, you confess that great name, and you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the last thing you're asked to do, well, part of the last thing you're asked to do, is to be baptized, Acts 2 and 38, for the remission of your sins. Once you do that, you will be able to take the mighty test every day. And if you remain faithful, that tree of life that we talked about in Genesis and Revelations is yours. Maybe you're in the body of Christ, and you haven't lived to your potential. You haven't fulfilled your purpose. And you want to make a change. Or you need prayers from everyone in here because you know we're going to take care of you because it's our responsibility. Come as we together stand and sing.